Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Top of the hour here on Sports Grid, Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Matic. Our producer, Brett Levy, will join us back for Fantasy Reality. That's coming up in just a few minutes from now. And, of course, as Davis mentioned, we have the 3M Open going on in golf. Plenty of Major League Baseball to discuss. We got the trade deadline 1 week from tomorrow. We have the NBA draft 1 week from tonight. And by this time next week, Davis, we're going to have a lot of teams reported for NFL training camp. So while we may be a little bit on the slower side maybe for sports and just in fantasy in general, I definitely think that by this time next week, we are going to be in that fantasy football news cycle big time.
Yeah, I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready to be talking about, you know, the third string running back for the Falcons. I hope you're ready to be talking about Cedric Wilson on the Dallas Cowboys. I hope you are ready for all of these names because it is coming thick and fast. There is not going to be a news update that slips us by. You know, I am hot and heavy in these best ball drafts. I am all over it. And I am super excited for training camp, super excited for the Hall of Fame game, 14 days away. We just got a little bit of news. Amari Cooper placed on the physically unable to perform list at the beginning of training camp. Cowboys beat writer Marcus Mosher says it's not anything to be concerned about. But look, anytime someone, Amari Cooper, he's been a little fragile, he's been banged up in his career, definitely something to take note of. I think we are going to see CeeDee Lamb's average draft position steadily creep up for the rest of the offseason.
Well, with news like that, there's no doubt that's what's happening over the next week, that's for sure, because people don't like to read the story, Davis. They just like to see the headline, and if what you're saying is true, it's probably nothing. All right, here are our headlines, and does this determine what kind of day it is in sports if we're talking about the Rangers and Tigers starting right now? We've officially reached the point in the baseball season where a lot of games don't matter. July 22nd, 2021. Today is the day. Now, from a wagering perspective, they matter. From a reality point, they don't. Rangers and Tigers getting ready to start here in just 2 minutes. First pitch will be thrown out. Hey, how about this one? Texas and Oklahoma looking to join the SEC and leave the Big 12. I want to dive into this a little bit more. Hawks Center is going to be out for 6 months. I won't pretend to try and pronounce the name. And a great chance Zach Ertz stays with the Eagles is the report out of Philadelphia. I probably could find this out. I'll have to dive into this after the show. Okay, so Davis, you are a Big 12 guy. You are an Oklahoma guy. Do you think that, forget about being wise or being smart or not, because this is about money, and Texas and Oklahoma are going to break the bank joining the SEC. But just from a competitive standpoint, with the way that the SEC plays their football, and the Big 12 plays their football, one plays defense, one does not, do you think those teams can hang in the SEC?
Yeah, I think they can hang, because the reason why you would want to go to the SEC is for recruiting purposes. They are that when Oklahoma and Texas go out to recruit, they have to compete against Alabama. They have to compete against Georgia. They have to compete against against Florida, like, right, all of these other big teams. And being a part of the SEC, having that SEC television contract, having, you know, that SEC pipeline to the NFL draft, that is going to help Oklahoma recruit, that is going to help Texas recruit. But let me say this, I absolutely hate this. I'm a grumpy old man. I'm sitting in my rocking chair telling my grandkids about the Big 12 and how great it was and about the Iowa State-Oklahoma, you know, rivalry, the great Kansas State-Oklahoma games, the Texas-Oklahoma rivalry, the Oklahoma-Nebraska rivalry, which we have lost forever as a result of realignment. I mean, those were some of my favorite games growing up were the Nebraska-Oklahoma games. Those are gone now. I have absolutely zero interest in watching Alabama and Oklahoma play regular season games. I don't want that at all. I do not want to deal with it. I hate this. I think it's completely inevitable. There's no way this doesn't happen. Now that it's on the table, now that Oklahoma and Texas have seen the potential money they are going to make as a result of this deal, it's going to happen, but I absolutely hate it. I really hate it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting for sure, because the dynamic of what I've seen from the Big 12, and by the way, I think the Big 12 is a good conference, but what happens for me every year in this conference is that you get your Oklahomas, you get your Texases, Oklahoma State sometimes, Iowa State sometimes, but Davis, those bad teams in the Big 12, when they don't play defense, I mean, they could get slaughtered in the SEC. So I'm curious. I'm wondering if this actually happens. But from a financial point of view, it's a no-brainer. I don't even think it matters if they win or lose. Just take the money. This is what everybody else is doing as well. I mean, the players are getting paid now, too. Big 12 may as well cash in, move over to the SEC. We saw teams jump to the Big 12, remember, from the Southwest Conference. So it's all about that. Big dollars in the SEC. Second biggest TV contract, I think, in sports for the Southeastern Conference as well. So not a huge surprise where your TV is headed on Saturdays. Okay, so coming up next here on the show, it is time for us to play our daily game of take 'em or leave 'em. I'll give you the topics. We've got James Robinson of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We've got O.J. Howard of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We also have Matthew Stafford, quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams. So we'll play that. And then also coming up after, Pat Crane is going to join us on the show, and we'll go through the fallout from the Cam Akers injury. Davis and Pat will go head-to-head, talk a little bit about who may get the most carries, most yards, and who you should be taking in fantasy football. And then Brett Levy joins us back here on the show for a game of fantasy or reality. So why would you want to go anywhere else? Especially you wouldn't want to go watch that Tigers-Rangers game, right? That's boring. Stay with us here on Sports Grid. We'll entertain you for the next 52 minutes. And we'll be back in just 2 minutes right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and David's here with you. Real interesting story, by the way, before we get to take it or leave it, Davis. This is from Tom Pelissero, who works for NFL Network. He sends out this tweet. This is really interesting. The NFL just informed clubs that if a game cannot be rescheduled during the 18-week season in 2021 due to a COVID outbreak amongst unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak will forfeit and will be credited with a loss for playoff seeding per sources. Wow. So, Davis, remember last year how when teams sort of had those outbreaks, they just kind of pushed their games back, if I'm not mistaken. It was Tennessee at one point, maybe for a couple weeks. And then, of course, they made the Broncos play with poor Kendall Hinton. That was not fair to him for sure. So that is something to consider. I wonder if this has any fantasy implications as well, right? Like if I mean, boy, are we going to have to dig for unvaccinated players going into the season? Man, that is not something that I want to do.
Well, we will know the teams that have hit the 85% threshold and the teams that have not hit the 85% threshold. And given the possibility of vacated games, I mean, I think you at least have to, like, ponder it. Now, I don't know how much. By the time we get to September 1st, with how easily available the vaccinations are, I think with this report from Tom Pelissero, my guess is that you see the tune change from some of the guys, like, you know, Cole Beasley or whatever. Like, I feel like probably they'll just go ahead and get it done with, because what's the point of not doing it?
Right.
So I my guess is that it ends up not being a big deal, but if for whatever reason there are teams that decide to just, you know, hardo it up and not get the vaccinations, they're going to pay for it. And I mean, you hate to see it, but it feels like something that we're going to have to deal with eventually.
Yeah. And on top of that, I mean, I assume, maybe I shouldn't, but I assume that FanDuel would just refund you on that. If that happens, they're usually good about that. But really interesting dynamic going into the season. They're just forcing these guys to get vaccinated to get those games in. So we'll see what ends up happening. Okay, now back to Take 'Em or Leave 'Em or Go. We'll start with the Jacksonville Jaguars, the pickup of the year in fantasy football last year, or the draft pick of the year if you took him in the last round or second to last. James Robinson, who was not on anyone's radar last year, 73rd overall now in ADP, is a sixth round pick in fantasy, 15-teamer, he's a fifth. Over 1,000 yards. He was wonderful. 49 receptions, 344 receiving yards, 10 touchdowns. I think in the fantasy community, Davis, if you did not get him, the answer was he's going to fall apart. They predicted his demise for week two, week three, week four, week five, and it never happened. The guy had a great year. I don't know that the Jaguars are still 100% all in on him going into the season. Is he a one and done? ADP of 73rd overall. Take him or leave him.
Well, if they were all in on James Robinson, they probably wouldn't have spent a first-round pick on Travis Etienne, and they probably would not have signed Carlos Hyde in free agency. And, you know, James Robinson was good last season. I certainly do not want to take anything away from how good James Robinson was, but he was playing Christian McCaffrey levels of snaps. I mean, he played 90% of snaps in multiple games, 80% of snaps in multiple games, 75% of the snaps in multiple games. He was being targeted heavily out of the backfield. He was the only running back they used at the goal line. And I just don't see any way that that repeats itself this season, even if Travis Etienne is playing in a hybrid, you know, kind of Percy Harvin, Curtis Samuel style role. I feel like minimum he's going to get 150 carries and 40 targets with ceiling for much more. And the same is true for Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde is going to get some goal line carries. Carlos Hyde is going to get some first and second down carries. I don't believe I've taken James Robinson in any draft yet. I find his ADP to be completely unpalatable. I think his path to upside really is only through an injury to Travis Etienne. So I am out. I am leaving James Robinson for other drafters.
Yeah, it's you know, it's one of those things where you found the diamond in the rough, and then you have to make the choice. Are you going to double down on the performance or just kind of assume what you saw was not real? I'm with you, though. I'm with you. I'm feeling the same thing going into draft season. All right, now, O.J. Howard. We're back here on O.J. Howard again. How many years are we going to do this? His ADP is 193 overall. I'm guessing we're going to talk about him because Davis has a compelling argument to make. On him, that's my guess, of taking him. It's got to be 11 receptions last year, 146 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns. They bring Gronk in. O.J. Howard is an afterthought, gets hurt, doesn't play, missed a lot of time. So Davis is going to sell us on ADP 193 of O.J. Howard. I don't need to be a genius to know that there's a reason why he's showing up here today. So what do you like about O.J. Howard, Davis?
Well, what I like about O.J. Howard is that I think that Rob Gronkowski is kind of neared the end of the road. I would be surprised for him to, you know, really be able to come back strong and play a ton this season, especially as a receiver. I think he is still a really good blocker, but I would be surprised to see him have a big role as a receiver. And actually, O.J. Howard played in only 4 games last season, because he injured his knee and was placed on the injured reserve. But he did have two touchdowns in those games. He played 53%, 56%, 49%, 37% of the snaps in those four games before he got hurt. The Buccaneers continued to use a ton of two tight end sets. They were playing Cameron Brate in the second half of the season quite a bit, actually much more than you would kind of remember, like, you know, 40, 50% of snaps in a lot of those games, which is, you know, more than you would have expected coming into the season for a guy like Cam Brate, considering Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are all there. And he is completely free in these drafts at this point. You know, you are not having to pay anything for him. And this is kind of more specifically for tight end premium formats, like the FFPC, which is the biggest fantasy football tournament available, $500,000 to first place, highest stakes entries. Mm-hmm. And I do feel pretty strongly that O.J. Howard is going to be on the field for the Buccaneers early. And I think his role is going to be a little bit larger than the market anticipates.
All right. So there you go. Maybe I'll take a stab at that. The funny thing is that Davis and I, and also a Brett, our producer, are all starting Monday going to be participating in the Raz Bowl draft. Anyone who watches the show, you see Gray Albright with us from Raz Ball. They do the Raz Slam for baseball, the Raz Bowl for football, and it begins Monday. We'll have a preview of that draft, by the way, on Monday's show. So that will be the three of us going head-to-head. We'll see how we end up doing. Okay, let's go to the quarterback position, and Matthew Stafford's ADP is 117 right now, Davis, so 10th round for the most part. 2020 threw for over 4,000 yards, 112 rushing yards, 26 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He had a key injury happen to his teammate, who you and Pat Corain will talk about in Cam Akers coming up in about 5 minutes from now. I believe you're in on Stafford this season, but are you in on the ADP right now?
Yeah, I am just very high on the Rams, and I am comfortable with that being my position for them. I feel that Matthew Stafford is much better than Jared Goff. I feel like Matthew Stafford honestly has never had a good head coach. He's never had a good offensive coordinator. I feel like most of his career, he's kind of been handcuffed by poor defenses, bad offensive lines, you know, and I think he's got all of the arm talent in the world. Like, I don't think anyone serious would ever question Matthew Stafford's ability to deliver the ball anywhere on the field. He used to really struggle with interceptions. It's kind of an interesting thing about him. You know, he used to be like a 15 interception a year guy, really trimmed down on those the last five seasons. I'm completely in on Matthew Stafford. I am taking him quite a bit.
Yeah, and look, this could be the thing that puts the Rams over the top. There's no doubt that the quarterback play was subpar last season. They were pretty good even with Jared Goff. Rams, to me, still have the best defense in the NFL. All right, coming up next, Pat Corain is going to join us here on the show, and Davis and Pat will go one-on-one with the big story in fantasy this past week, which was the injury to Cam Akers, who's expected to miss the entire season. Who is the running back to own? What were the numbers last year? What could be the numbers this year? We will go through it all for you coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today, Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined today by Patrick Corain with some sad news that unfortunately we have to discuss, Pat. Cam Akers, our first big domino to fall this offseason for fantasy football. It is the first. It's not going to be the last, actually. I was doing a little bit of reading this morning Tariq Cohen, I think, is going to be placed on the physically unable to perform list. That's not really being widely reported yet. And I think when it is, we're going to see a spike in David Montgomery's ADP. But we'll probably talk about that in 2 weeks when they actually do that. But yeah, Pat, we got to talk about it. Cam Akers out for the season. Darrell Henderson clearly going to be the starting running back for the Los Angeles Rams. They're probably going to sign a veteran. What do you think the correct ADP is right now? If we started over from scratch in every fantasy football tournament, every 12-team league, what do you think the right ADP for Darrell Henderson would be?
I think the right ADP is somewhere in the fourth to fifth rounds, because we don't know what the Rams are going to do at this moment. So it's possible that they don't sign anyone now, but then they bring in someone later in the summer. Like, I could imagine them bringing in a Sony Michel, who I don't expect to be on the Patriots for week one. It's pretty easy to imagine them working a trade. You and I were joking yesterday on your pod that, you know, they could do something big. They could, like, trade for a contract year Nick Chubb, which is kind of a joke, but something like maybe trying to trade for a James Robinson. I mean, there's guys that might be available if they're willing to actually pay a little bit in terms of draft capital. So those types of scenarios would really hurt Henderson. And I think you want to factor those into the cost to acquire him a little bit. On the other hand, if we get through this entire training camp period and they don't add anybody, then he really feels kind of third round value to me. And I know you're even a bit higher on him in terms of his projection.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was having this argument with people yesterday, but Cam Akers was going in the first round, right? Tail end of the first round, first, second pick of the second round. And he had to compete with Darrell Henderson, right? Like, he was going to have to compete with Darrell Henderson for third downs, I think. Like, I think Henderson is the more natural third down player than Akers was. And I mean, if you really just want to, like, caveman it and go to, like, the most base layer that you could find, Darrell Henderson had more yards per touch and more touchdowns than Cam Akers last year, which is, like, that's a very reductive way to view the situation. But if you want to make the argument, like, oh, Darrell Henderson's no good, Darrell Henderson's never produced, like, a lot of those things apply to the guy that we were just taking in the first round of drafts. Cam Akers had to compete with Darrell Henderson. Now Darrell Henderson doesn't have to compete with Cam Akers. So I do think it's very binary based on who they bring in. If they re-sign Todd Gurley, as lots of people are, I mean, that's, like, kind of the joke on Twitter, is that they're gonna sign Todd Gurley to a veteran minimum. Le'Veon Bell was thrown out there, you know, trading a seventh round pick for Melvin Gordon, a seventh round pick for Philip Lindsay. Frank Gore is a free agent, which, like, look, football coaches love Frank Gore. I know it sounds ridiculous, but if they sign or trade for someone of that ilk, other than Melvin Gordon, if they trade for him, Darrell Henderson is, like, dead to me at a you know, third, fourth, fifth round ADP, because Melvin Gordon just convinces coaches to give him the ball. But if it is a Gurley, if it is a Le'Veon Bell, if it is, like, someone of that, LeSean McCoy, right, someone of that variety, I think there's a very good case to rank Darrell Henderson ahead of guys like Najee Harris, ahead of guys like Nick Chubb, because I would anticipate Henderson having a pretty strong role as a receiver. That was what he really did at Memphis. That was where he excelled. You know, he was just an incredible player in space. I mean, he averaged 9.5 yards per touch his final year at Memphis with 25 touchdowns on 233 touches. He's, like, a super explosive player. So I'm very interested in him pending the veteran that they add. Like, for example, DeAndre Swift, I don't even think it's close. DeAndre Swift goes to the tail end of the third round. I would book Henderson versus Swift instantaneously.
You would book that now, or you'd book that with the idea that they're not signing anyone?
So I would book it now, because Jamal Williams already exists for DeAndre Swift. Jamal Williams is already the thorn in the side that, and that's not even a joke. Like, Dan Campbell has come out and been like, Jamal Williams is going to play. Jamal Williams is getting on the field. He is going to be a part of our offense. And the Lions aren't even going to be any good. The Rams, I mean, I think are going to be extremely good. Like, I think the Rams are going to be one of the five best offenses in football, probably.
What I think's kind of interesting now is you think through what this offense might look like, especially if they do sign the Todd Gurley type, because that's the best case scenario for Daryl Henderson. And it might be the best case scenario for the offense in the sense that they're not going to have an early down hammer anymore. We both are thinking of Henderson more of a big play rusher plus receiving. That might actually lead to a more fun and explosive Rams offense, actually, than what they might have looked like, because it's going to force them to pass a little bit more. So if anything, I think I'm maybe a little bit more excited about the Rams overall. It creates more risk and uncertainty for this offense, but I think it raises the ceiling of what this offense can be, because they may just be forced to go a little bit more pass heavy and be kind of like, you know, I don't think they'll go full Bills, but they could be a little bit of that plus an explosive rushing element with Daryl Henderson.
Well, that's kind of the sneaky thing about Sean McVay is I do think Sean McVay is a very good play caller, but he's like a little bit of a fake sharp, right? You know, the Rams last year were 7th in the NFL in rushing attempts. That, you know, considering their weapons as pass catchers and the guys they had at running back, and a lot of those rushes being, you know, Malcolm Brown, that's not particularly great. So I actually do like this point that an injury to Cam Akers might shift them into more being, you know, like a 60-40 pass to run split, which they have never been under McVay. They have always been a team that's been top 10 in the league in run to pass splits, which, you know, that really, I think, probably raises the target floor for Woods and Kupp. The last 2 years, Woods and Kupp, 139, 134. And then last season, they were at 129, 124. So if we can start getting those guys into the 150, 160 range, because I think you and I are both in agreement, we're not expecting a huge role for Van Jefferson. DeSean Jackson will probably play 1.5 healthy games. Tutu Atwell is like just out there to be the jet motion guy. So I actually wonder if the correction here in ADP is Robert Woods and Kupp should kind of be a clear tier of their own ahead of the Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones range of wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel that they need to come up, because if you just think about this Rams offense versus what we just saw, I mean, you've got McVay trying to protect Goff. And I know I kind of agree with you on the fake sharp point to an extent, but he was also trying to win Super Bowls with Jared Goff. So let's cut him a little bit of slack, because he's trying to protect this guy, and rightfully so. He needed to be protected. So Goff is gone. You bring in Stafford, who does not need to be protected. The guy that you were going to protect the quarterback with in Cam Akers is now gone as well. So this entire offense, this entire system could be completely different in terms of how it's trying to score points and get down the field. So if it does just run through Stafford, and if we see the full McVay offense unleashed, and what we were seeing before with Goff was kind of this muted version of it, it could be very exciting. And yeah, we're potentially way too low on Kupp and Woods if that happens.
Well, and the other guy that we might be too low on is Tyler Higbee, who, you know, everyone remembers the four games he had at the end of the 2019 season. He had a 3-touchdown game last year and then was, you know, kind of largely disappointing. But assuming, you know, again, with Gerald Everett gone, maybe they go a different way at the goal line, right? Instead of giving Cam Akers all those, you know, the 2-yard touchdowns, maybe Tyler Higbee earns a larger role. I mean, there could be like a 9-touchdown season there for Tyler Higbee, particularly if he just is never leaving the field, if he just is, you know, their all-time tight end and they're playing a ton of that, you know, 11 personnel. I feel like Higbee is a guy I have drafted a ton of anyways, but I feel like sneakily this might actually make him a much higher ceiling player.
Yeah, and Higbee's ADP rose a bit and then has fallen back down. You know, so where he's, I think it's very comfortable to draft him right now. And the Gerald Everett leaving and going to Seattle is a big deal for Higbee. So anything on top of that makes him quite appealing. I think what Higbee's shown when he's been given an opportunity to be the number one guy has been impressive. Obviously, he had that massive stretch, but he's, in terms of target per out run, he's been impressive throughout. He just hasn't always run a ton of routes. He was blocking a lot last year. So if they use him more and this offense is passing more, I think it could be a big year for Higbee.
Yeah, I have become fascinated with the Los Angeles Rams, and this has only done more to make me want to draft them in fantasy football. Everyone, stay tuned to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV as we run into a break. I will be rejoined by Craig Mish as we continue for the rest of the show with our baseball analysis and, of course, the Sports Grid 60 and fantasy or reality at the end.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep. That's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, and looks like, Davis, a lot of people trying to make sense of this tweet by Tom Pelissero, what it actually means. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show as to whether or not teams are actually going to have to forfeit a game. It does seem like they're going to try and work it out, like, to get all things possible. I don't know about you, it feels like a thinly veiled threat. I don't know, that's kind of what this feels like when I read it, that they'll do everything possible to not postpone or cancel a game. But this is sort of telling, I think, the league that they better prepare for it if they're going to have a team with half of their team unvaccinated, I guess it looks like.
I think it's pretty obvious what they're doing. They're telling you, you want to play in the NFL this year? You want to get your paycheck every week? You want to have your, you want to play on a level playing field? You better get vaccinated. You better get to that 85% threshold because we're not playing games with you. We're not moving bye weeks around. We're not playing on Wednesday night. Remember that Bills game, the Titans game that was played on Wednesday night? We're not playing on Wednesday. We're not moving your bye week around. We're not holding your hand. You want to win this year. You want to win the Super Bowl. You want to make the playoffs. You better get vaccinated because we're going to do everything we can to make it more difficult for you if you are not vaccinated and you test positive for COVID, because they have really loosened the restrictions. If you get to that 85% threshold, the NFL is placing no restrictions. Best I can tell, it's like, go live your life, do what you got to do, see your mom, go to the store, go to dinner, whatever. But if you're not, you are in really strict health and safety protocols.
Yeah, and it feels like that way for all sports right now. But yeah, for the NFL in particular, what a dynamic that was last year in terms of trying to get that season played and try and figure out what fantasy football was all about each and every week. I don't want to do that again. So, but we'll see. Individual choice, I suppose. Brett, let's bring in Brett Levy, our producer here. He's knee-deep in NBA draft coverage here on our show, making up for all the things that I don't know. How about fantasy reality, Brett? What do you have for us today?
All right, Craig. Well, we're going to college football. Yesterday, Mike Leach spoke at SEC Media Day and mentioned that he'd personally like to see a 64-team college football playoff, very similar to March Madness. So you know we had to bring it up here, Craig. And we'll start with you. In the future, there will be a 64-team college football tournament. Craig, is this a fantasy or reality?
Well, look, Mike Leach is a funny guy. I got to know him very briefly. He is good friends with Jimmy Johnson. So I may have spent a night or two at Jimmy Johnson's place, Jimmy Johnson's Big Fish Grill, I think it is called, where Mike Leach and him hang out quite a bit and have some fun nonetheless. Leach is not, he has no filter. He's not afraid basically of anything, and he'll say anything. In theory, I think Mike Leach could have just walked it back by saying like 8 teams or 16 teams. There's not going to be a 64-team college football tournament. It is not going to happen. There's too many games to be played. And basically, you would, unless you're willing to eliminate the whole season, then yes, this can be done. If you choose to not play a regular season and just have a tournament from start to finish based on seeding, I'm on board. You can do it. But Davis, beyond that, you can't. You can't do it. They're going to have to play a whole regular season with these kids. There's going to be massive injuries. I think they're probably going to be more anyway when they expand the team. They expand the field to 12, which does make sense. I'm in agreement with that. And maybe even deeper than that, maybe 24. But 64, Davis, is a no. This is not college basketball where you line up, you play on the court, you don't bang up against anybody for the most part, and then you play again in 2 days. No, this is not going to happen. So there will never be a 64-team college football tournament, fantasy for me.
No, there never will be. I would love it though, but you're right. It would just have to, what it would have to do is it would have to replace the college football season. And what they could do is they could actually just seed the teams, break it down the big Power Five conferences, right? So you have, you'd have your Big 12 conference, your SEC, your ACC, you know, you do all that. And then maybe you do one big, like, independent conference or something like that. And then you seed the teams there. Then you just break it down and you play single elimination games all the way until the end. I do think probably what we will see, though, Craig, is I anticipate that we will likely see a 12-team tournament at some point for the college football playoff, and they extend it, and we're playing college football games in February, and it's going to be absurd. But honestly, it's more football, and I literally never in my life have ever heard someone complain about football being played. Like, whoever is going to complain about having more football to watch? Not going to be me. Don't think it'll be you. So that's a fantasy, but definitely I think next couple years we will see the college football playoff be expanded.
Yeah, the one thing that they need to figure out, and it doesn't feel like a big deal to us because, as you said, we like football, we like more football. But I will say this, once they expand beyond what they have, there has got to be some give and take with the bowl games because, Davis, this is basically going to be minor league football, minor league college football, if they choose to expand the playoff, because no one, Davis, is going to play in those bowl games. Those players who are now getting paid and now not playing in a playoff and saving everything for the NFL, those games that we see now are going to be gone, man. And I don't know how that's going to work for some of these cities that rely on that every year. And again, I'm not talking about the New Mexico Bowl, but I'm talking about the ones that are closer to January the 1st. Remember, we've had 45 bowl games in the past. Some are ridiculous. You could do away with some. But that's something that'll have to get sorted out, because the cities and the committees, these are people that are working people. They work for that every single year to have that happen. So they'll have to sort it out. 64, we are in agreement. That, Brett, is a fantasy.
All right. Well, Deion Sanders also had his media day earlier this week, and he got into it with a reporter who called him Deion. Wasn't a big fan of that. I think he actually said to the reporter something like, would you call Nick Saban Nick? And many reporters replied, we've called Nick Saban Nick. So kind of a weird situation at the Jackson State Media Day. But we got to ask, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Deion Sanders was right to walk out of his press conference on Media Day. Davis, is this a fantasy or reality?
So knowing what I know about Deion Sanders, it feels like my impulse to this question is to say that it is a fantasy, that he was not right to walk out. Like, remember we did the story about him, he wasn't able to find his wallet. And he was like, where's my wallet? Someone stole my wallet. And then he found it right. And had everything in it. But on the other hand, Deion Sanders is a man of color who I am sure many times in his life has been called things he did not want to be called and was treated disrespectfully in public places by people he did not want to be treated disrespectfully by. And if Deion Sanders wants to be called coach, if Deion Sanders wants to be called sir, if whatever Deion Sanders wants to be called, you know, within reason, it's his press conference. You're there to talk to him. He is the head coach. He is running the show. And if he says, don't call me Deion, call me X, Y, and Z, call him that. That is just very basic power dynamics between the person in power, Deion Sanders, and the media. So I think like it's a hard situation to answer, but I would say, look, if he felt disrespected, then good for him. Good for him for walking out of there. So I'm actually going to give it to him, and I'm going to say reality.
Yeah, you know what's funny? We're both going to say reality here, but for completely different reasons, because I disagree with that. Like, I think that if Deion didn't want to be called Deion, he should set the precedent at the beginning of the press conference. Hey guys, just sure. From now on, I want to be called coach or Mr. Sanders or whatever. And you know what? He probably would get obliged by that. I think people actually would listen to him. Now, the reason why this is a reality for me is because this is not Deion Sanders yesterday or the day before. This is primetime Deion Sanders. This is look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Look at the school that I'm coaching. Look at the kids that I'm trying to develop and get on the right track, get to the NFL, bring all the attention to me, and for no reason whatsoever. I think that's what this was about. Good job. A mission accomplished. He got us talking about him. He got us focusing on him. He got us remembering that he's actually a head coach at a college football school. I do think that Deion eventually is going to coach at a bigger school than Jackson State that he's at right now. And I think that probably comes next year. I don't know how high or far he will go at this, but there's no doubt there are some people that thought that even with Mike Norvell being hired at Florida State, I know it's crazy that Deion Sanders should have been hired at Florida State. I've heard that as well after all the issues that they had. But yeah, I think he was right to walk out because he got the focus on him and where he is. And that's his hustle. That's a reality for me on Deion Sanders. He was right. Got the attention.
All right. Well, our last one of the day, and we'll go kind of quick here, but I'm guessing it's Robin Williams, some sort of anniversary or birthday today.
Birthday yesterday.
Birthday yesterday. Okay. So unfortunately, Robin Williams left us not too long ago, but we look back on Robin Williams' career and remember what his best movie could possibly be. So we came up with Good Will Hunting. And Craig, we'll start with you. Robin Williams' best movie was Good Will Hunting. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, Robin Williams, one of my favorite comedians and actors, really of all time. Just such a sad, sad ending to his life, unfortunately. He's been in some unbelievably great movies too. Good Will Hunting was phenomenal. And that's why I use this one, because he won the Academy Award for this, if I'm not mistaken, and it was one of the best movies that he participated in. But I'm going to say no, because he wasn't nearly as funny as he was in a lot of other movies. I'm an old school guy. Miss Doubtfire, to me, was his best role and funniest role. And by the way, inspired a million other roles of guys dressing up as women and women dressing up as guys. I mean, this was where it started from Miss Doubtfire. So I know that it's kind of a corny movie for some, but at the time in the early 90s or the 80s, whenever this came out, it was hysterically funny. And I am going to say fantasy. His best movie was not Good Will Hunting. It was Miss Doubtfire.
Craig, man, you are wrong. Good Will Hunting is the best Robin Williams movie. I have probably seen Good Will Hunting 15 times. I've probably seen Rounders like 900 times. I'm a big Matt Damon guy. Love Matt Damon movies. Rounders, Bourne Ultimatum. I mean, just all of, like, Matt Damon, it's a weird personality trait to have like a famous actor, because these people don't care about us at all. Matt Damon, I could die tomorrow, Matt Damon wouldn't be affected, but I do love Matt Damon and I love this movie. I think Robin Williams is great in that movie. I think Matt Damon is great in that movie. I think the Affleck brothers are really good in that movie. Minnie Driver is great in that movie. Like, all around. I mean, if you want to talk about time capsule movies, you put this in there and show it to humans 1,000 years from now. I think a human could watch this 1,000 years from now and learn something about being a human being from watching this movie. So for me, reality, Robin Williams' best movie was Good Will Hunting.
All right. Well, listen, fun to have a disagreement on a movie. And by the way, Davis, big fan of the movie too. All right. So, and even before his era too. So like that for sure. Okay. We got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next. And then we got to say so long here for the day on this Thursday, but we'll be right back here tomorrow. One of our final appearances from Gray Albright, and as our fantasy baseball coverage sort of takes a little bit of a backseat to football, but we'll bring Gray on this week and then again for the trade deadline before we move over to football. And then, of course, we're going to have an interview on Monday previewing the Razz Bowl. Davis is in it. I am in it. Brett is in it. We're all in the same league together. We'll be drafting live with you here on Sports Grid, getting you ready for the fantasy football season. So stay with us. We'll wrap it all up in just 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know everyone wants a Tigers Rangers update. That's what you're waiting for here at the end of the show. So yes, the Tigers have a 4-0 lead on Texas. Eric Haas, the catcher, hit another home run. This guy has been some story this season. 4-0. Now you can go about your day. Sports Grid 60. Let's turn it over to Davis as we end the show. Davis?
Yeah, I was thinking about some of the ways that this new ruling from the NFL is going to impact rosters. And I think this is the biggest impact. Guys on the roster bubble, your 54th guy versus your 50th guy. You best believe, you know what NFL teams are doing? If you're the 49th guy, you're our sixth linebacker and you're our punt gunner, you're not vaccinated, sorry, buddy. Sorry, Kadarryl Hodge. If you're not vaccinated, you're off the team. We'll bring in a guy who's not going to lose us games. So it's going to be fascinating to watch all of this stuff play out publicly, but I just was kind of thinking about the actual impacts of this ruling on NFL rosters. And I do think the guys on the edge of the roster are going to be the most impacted.
Yeah, because the vaccinations in baseball started basically when the season was going on. And the same with the NBA. The football is the first one where it's readily available to you right now. So really interesting there. All right. Well, kind of a sad note, unfortunately, to leave people on here today. As Bobby Bowden, the former head coach of Florida State University, was diagnosed with a terminal illness, arguably the greatest or one of the greatest coaches of all time. And I can say that as Florida State was basically my rival going to the University of Florida. But this man was so kind and always available for interviews, always making fun of not just himself, but of other things in life. Very self-deprecating, didn't take things too seriously, and always made time for a lot of fans. So I definitely can recognize the fact that when we do lose Bobby Bowden, inevitably, unfortunately, we are losing one of the great characters, people, and coaches of all time in college football. Thanks to Spencer for helping out today, Connell over at LTN, Danny and Ryan doing a great job as always, getting our graphics up and everything that we need. Our producer, Brett Levy, and my co-host, David Spadick. I'm Craig Mish. Hope you have a great Thursday, and we'll see you tomorrow at noon.